This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Ramon Soto, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at Northwell Health in New York. Ramon, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Laura, thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, before we jump into the questions, could you please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I am obviously the Chief Marketing Officer for Northwell Health. Northwell happens to be the largest healthcare provider in the Metro New York market. We have about 75,000 employees. We take care of about 2 million patients annually in the New York City and surrounding area. And we're really very progressive healthcare advocates, and I've had the pleasure of working there for the past 6 years. I'm a marketer's marketer, started in advertising, spent a large chunk of my career at General Electric running marketing for a few of their businesses, and then spent another large chunk of my career at Aetna, where I learned to speak the healthcare language and really helped healthcare organizations tell their stories and engage with consumers.
Well, fantastic. We're really excited to have you and your expertise here. Now, my first question is, what are your top priorities today and how do you anticipate they're going to change in the coming year?
So I would divide this into two buckets, the transactional and then the aspirational. And on the transactional side, as you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic. We're grateful that we have a vaccine and that we see the end in sight, but we're just starting to wind down the second wave. Luckily, Northwell has seen its peak and we're seeing our patient volumes slowly drift down. At the same time, we're really trying to figure out how do we vaccinate New Yorkers efficiently. And that's on the short-term basis. On the long-term, how do we really deal with vaccine hesitancy, which we know is a real issue. You know, we have pent up demand right now. We have a lack of supply. Once that supply catches up, we really need the entire population to stand in line and put a shot in their arm. So my group's really trying to figure out the strategy of engaging with those populations that are hesitant. And then thirdly, on the transactional side, we're still open for business. You know, one of the challenges under the first surge was an inability to offer elective procedures and really a shutdown of our ambulatory capability. We very purposefully stayed open to take care of all New Yorkers and all New Yorkers' health needs this time around. And in essence, we've been trying to do three big things at once. That's been trying, but we feel like we've successfully navigated to date. Also on the transactional side, we're trying to keep an eye out for the variations of COVID that are floating around there, whether it's the UK variant or the South African variant, because of their virulence and their ability to spread much more quickly. So we're doing both preparation and observation of how that materializes. You know, optimistically, I do think the future is going to be a different place, and we'll learn a lot from what we went through in COVID. Consumers' mindsets are going to be in a different place. If you think about it, the population has gone through a health event like no other. And something that historically was a low interest category until you needed it, healthcare, has all of a sudden become a high interest category. So we're pretty optimistic that there's a new chapter in building relationships with consumers and taking the healthcare journey with them. And we're spending a lot of time trying to think through how do we engage differently post-COVID? What does it mean to consume health post-COVID? What kind of relationships do we want to have with individuals? What kind of relationships do they want to have with us? By and large, you know, cautious about the short term and as optimistic as possible about the longer term.
Got it. That makes sense. So it sounds like you're balancing many different things from the COVID-19 vaccine and messaging around that and making sure you're able to bring in community members as soon as they're able to get the vaccine and you have the vaccine available at the hospital. And then really, you know, being able to continue operations outside of COVID in the pandemic to make sure that you're connecting with patients, connecting with your community, and, you know, building trust there for the future. That sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Agreed.
My next question is, how are you anticipating and approaching growth over the next 5 years?
So this is going to be like most things in the new world post-COVID. It'll be a little bit of the old world, and it'll be a little bit of what we learned going through the pandemic. And thus, we're not going to completely throw out the playbook. Northwell is about a $14 billion institution. Over the last 5 years, we've grown about $1.5 billion up until COVID. And then when COVID hit, we actually retrenched a little bit. Half that growth was organic, more patient volume. About half that growth was inorganic, buying physician practices or ambulatory facilities or even hospitals. We probably have our next two acquisitions in the queue. And because of COVID, that's been a timing issue. So we'll focus on recalibrating when they come into the health system. But just as importantly, I think we have to look at those opportunities that avail themselves from a changing healthcare landscape. So I'm super optimistic that new ways of consuming health and new relationships have been born, and that those are going to lead to economic opportunity. In particular, virtual care, and telehealth, just as a domain, has seemed to have hit a tipping point, peaked because the society needed a substitute with which to seek care. But there's a large cadre of individuals who've gotten used to that interaction. Just like you and I are talking on Zoom right now, I think there's a wonderful window of opportunity to really think through the economics of offering care on a virtual basis, whether it's first touch, emergency care, to chronic conditions, all the way to follow-up visits in the office. There's a convenience aspect to it. There's a consumer-centric aspect to it. And we think payment reform is going to follow on shortly with virtual care as well. So that'll be a super important component of the mix. So we're optimistic. I think we're looking at this like we're gonna come out of this a little bit stronger than we went in. That will not be true for other systems that have taken a little bit more on the chin, and there may be consolidation opportunities to help other smaller health systems or providers get to the other side, provide services to their communities, and grow the Northwell franchise.
Thank you so much for going through that. I think that makes a lot of sense. It really puts into perspective, you know, this, where Northwell is and the position it's in, but then also how it sees growing and developing over the next few years. What are you most excited about right now, and what makes you most nervous?
I'm less nervous and actually much more excited. I think the world post-COVID is, it's going to be incredibly different. And this disruption is going to create economic opportunity for those who really try to look hard through it. A lot of needs are being born because of COVID. So think of the pandemic that has come, and think of the knock-on effects, the economic shock, and the healthcare needs that are derived of that. The social issues that have been bubbling underneath the surface that all of a sudden erupted and became front and center. The needs of diverse populations, the need to combat racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare. There's a lot of the mission that still needs to be done and needs to be honed, and provides a place of opportunity to move healthcare in a very positive direction. There are tremendous implications for healthcare delivery. I mentioned it before, but there's this window of opportunity with this shock. And if you don't have your health, what do you really have? And if you look at it from that perspective, taking a very different journey with consumers is there's a power behind that that we think is going to create a tremendous amount of opportunity. It's also going to require a lot of thinking and a lot of retooling to be in that best position to take that journey with individuals. And we're also super optimistic that the shock to New York, you know, New York was the epicenter of COVID in the United States for that first wave. Northwell was the epicenter of COVID in New York. There is no other health system that has treated more patients, well over 100,000 for that first wave. The second wave has been so big, I'm sure that there are other health systems that have caught up. But that has given us a bit of brand stature and currency, and we're trying to figure out how do we use that currency, how do we deploy that currency in the best way to help grow the organization, but to also to help consumers on their healthcare journey. If there was one thing that was really kind of worrying me a little bit, it is a little bit of Washington and the spending has not caught up with reality yet. And when you throw trillions of dollars at the economy to try to buttress it from buckling, at some point in the future, somebody's going to have to pay for that. And if you look at the number one spending item on Washington's balance sheet, it's entitlements. So I think Medicare and Medicaid are going to be in a little bit of a tough spot. And that constriction on payments worries me as a healthcare provider. That's probably the one little rain cloud that I see. You know, at the same time, it is the Biden administration. You have an administration that really, I think, believes in healthcare in a different way. And they're probably looking to do less harm for individuals and not necessarily take away services. So a lot of work to get to the other side. But overall, I'm pretty optimistic. I think our better days are ahead of us.
That's great to hear. And so interesting to know kind of what's front of mind for you and what's really been your focus area and what could be an exciting aspects of things that are coming out of this healthcare reform, coming out of the pandemic and new areas of focus that could really make a difference for the community. Now, my last question focuses on leadership. What are your top three pieces of advice for aspiring leaders today?
So I love this question. I actually have a fairly long list, but the top three, I would suggest that your listeners should to do a couple of things and probably in this order. I don't think healthcare does a good job taking the journey with consumers, particularly on the provider side. The provider side, historically, we have engaged with individuals when they've needed care. And we even call them episodes of care. It's transactional in nature. I have an injury. I have an illness. I go to this great institution. I see this wonderful doctor. I get better. And then we don't see you until the next time. Think about a wonderful opportunity to take the journey differently, to think of healthcare and how it's consumed on a longitudinal basis over time. And how you could have preventative interactions, interactions of awareness, interactions that provide a degree of early insight into need, and can just bend the curve in terms of how we engage with consumers. The thing that's been challenging about that in the past has been revenue and profit. Like, you don't really make your money on the preventative side or the upfront side, it's more on the back end. But that has to change. And we have to take a different journey with individuals. So because of COVID, you have this awareness piece out there. And I think there's a really nice window of opportunity to rethink the game. So in your institution, how are you going to rethink the game? How are you going to be more proactive with your best customers? How are you going to identify your best customers? How are you going to position yourself to keep people out of your institutions, your inpatient settings? How are you going to take a really positive and optimistic approach to engaging with consumers and a very different journey? You know, the second thing that I would challenge leaders who are listening in is to hone your own skills. The first chapter of COVID and the shock to the system and the amount of change that will be created because of COVID, it is tremendous. And do you have the right skills to help your organization, lead your organization to navigate that change? And I would suggest that there's a wonderful opportunity for you to stretch yourself, to really kind of think about the future and your own contribution to your organization, and be a lifelong learner and hone the skills that you need, particularly in an environment of hyper change. I myself went back for some executive education programs. I'm wrapping up a 6-month program, and I feel like I've learned a lot, and I'm now energized to really contribute to this next chapter that we're going to go through and provide clarity where there is tremendous ambiguity. The third piece is focusing on your team. So we all live in this environment where we're knowledge workers and we're providing services, and it's the human capital, it's the people who deliver those services that are creating the value. Now, in my world, the majority of that value is created by clinicians, doctors, nurses, but the rest of the knowledge base also drives tremendous value. And are your employees well positioned to help you think through that ambiguous future? Do they have the skills? Have you challenged them? Have you stretched them? Have you given them the skill set to really make sure that they can contribute at the top of their certificate? And think about that employee base that you have. In some cases, we're going to be stretched financially and we'll have to make hard choices about who we keep. But those people who you keep, they have to be really driving value in an extraordinary way. And they have to be incentivized to drive value in an extraordinary way. I think there's a really nice chapter to think through your employees, that human capital, get them and their mindset to a different place and have them contribute to your organization in a very different way.
Well, you made some great points there in terms of, number one, taking the journey with consumers, having healthcare providers and leaders being able to go through that journey and be part of that. Number two, leaders honing their own skills. And then number three, focusing on the team and seeing who's driving value and really being able to evaluate at the end of the day the right people in the right places. So thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your time and expertise, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Laura, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for having me today.